when we see them, it's just like we talked to them yesterday. You know how that is with certain people anyway. But Tennyson and Carol Fitch, you know, Tennyson and Carol graduated from Rhema in 1979. I graduated from Rhema in 1979. Sherry Jones, sitting right there, graduated from Rhema in 1979. But I don't think any of us knew each other back then. And, of course, they were about 800 of us. Well, first and second year, about 1,200 that year at Rhema. But glory to God, they have. Now, this is really something. Give honor to whom honor is due. They have pioneered and raised up three different churches. I'm talking about go in from scratch and raise them up and get them on their feet and get them solid and so forth. And the last church they pioneered is up and strong and doing extremely well. And they're still there. They still work and they still serve and still minister. But they officially turned it over to their son, Sam. And some of you may know Sam about 3 years ago, I think. Praise God. And so I don't know. There's lots of things you could say about them. But they're just, best thing I know to say about Tennyson and Carol, they're just full of God. And that's a good testimony, isn't it? I mean, they're full of God, which means they are full of love and compassion. They are full of faith, full of the Spirit and power. Glory to God. It's kind of synonymous terms, but they're full of God, full of love, full of compassion, full of the Word, full of faith, full of the Spirit, and full of power. Glory to God. And so we're going to let him come up and explode all over you this morning, teach the Word of God to you. And so let's give him, it's been several years since they've actually preached from the pulpit, but let's give him a big, big hand, welcoming him back to Cleveland, Tennessee. Amen. Praise God.
It is a privilege to be here with you again. Over the years, I have preached for Pastor Mark and Sister Margaret more than any other church that I've preached in that I've gone back to time and time again. I remember all the way back to the little white frame church. I preached in that church and then in the storefront many, many times, and I think this is probably the third or fourth time I've preached in this church. And every time it's been a blessing. You realize that you have two of the greatest pastors in America? Amen. I'm not just saying that, you do. You have people that love you, that love the Lord, and preach the truth. They are sincere. They are honest. They're full of integrity and full of love. Besides that, they're very good looking. Amen. Praise God. My wife Carol is here with me. If it wasn't for her, I'd be lost in Germany, I think. Years ago, we were traveling through Germany as we were overseas ministering, and I saw a bus going through the airport, and I thought, I ought to get on that bus, and it'll take me to where I need to go. And as I was boarding the bus, she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going on this bus." She said, "That says downtown Frankfurt." I was just going to cross the airport. So she jerked me off that bus and has been keeping me straight ever since. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, are you a warrior?
Yes.
Are you a warrior?
Yes.
You love this nation?
Yes.
Is it worth fighting for?
Yes.
I believe I have a word from the throne of God. God's been dealing with me about the nation and about prayer for quite some time. And I believe the Lord's given me a word that's a wake-up call to the church.
Amen.
So before we get into the word, we'll start in 2 Chronicles 7:14. But before we read and get into the word, I want us to pray together. Lord, we're assembled in this place because we love you. Because we believe you. We know that you are the resurrected Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank you that you've given us eternal life. And you have baptized us with your Holy Spirit. You have called us and appointed us in your kingdom to accomplish great things in the hour in which we live. We're not alive at this time by accident or coincidence. We are here by divine appointment. You knew us from the foundation of the world and appointed us to be alive in the church at this hour. It must be because you had confidence in us to do what is necessary to turn this nation and to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you again this morning, as I have repeatedly over the last few days, grant us hearing ears and seeing eyes and believing hearts May the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God be loosed in every heart and mind. I thank you for utterance in the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that we'll both speak and hear the oracles of God. And we receive that by faith in Jesus' name. Can you agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. 2 Chronicles 7:14, most of you can quote that portion of Scripture. Starts with, if my people who are called by my name, who's he talking to?
His people.
Now, we know this is an Old Testament Scripture where God was speaking to Israel, but it applies to us today. We're God's people today. There are some verses that are just anointed, not just for Israel, but they have a parallel prophecy. They're for the church as well, and this is one of them. This verse is relevant today. I believe this is what God is saying in this hour. I believe God is speaking this to this congregation right now. If my people who are called by my name will do what?
Humble
themselves. If my people who are called by my name will get down on their face, you humble yourself, you get down on your face before God. That's a position of humility, to bow before the Lord, to get on our face. We've been kind of arrogant about the things of God. People running around, shaking their fists in the air, proclaiming this and proclaiming that, prophesying this and that when God hasn't spoken. And it's been proven out that God didn't speak, because if the Lord says it and someone prophesies it, it comes to pass.
Amen.
And if it doesn't come to pass, somebody missed God. And we need to humble ourselves and realize that if the Lord doesn't accomplish it, if the Lord doesn't say it, if the Lord doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. So we need to humble ourselves. And while we're on our faces, he said, and pray and seek my face. It's time for the church to pray. We have too many prayerless Christians, too many prayerless churches. Now, we may think we're doing pretty good praying, but William Seymour, when he was seeking God back at the turn of the 1900s, you know, Azusa Street outpouring came through a one-eyed black man, and that's always tickled me that William Seymour, a one-eyed black man, could see more. And he sought God for 5 years for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, to be filled with his spirit and to have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. For 5 years, he prayed 5 hours a day.
Wow.
Nothing happened. He couldn't see any results. He said, Lord, what do I need to do? The Lord spoke to him and said, pray more. So he kicked it up to 8 hours a day. And the heavens opened over Los Angeles on Azusa Street, and modern-day Pentecost was poured out in America.
Yeah.
It swept across this nation. It changed lives. It changed churches. It was the beginning of the last days, I believe. Noah prepared an ark for 100 years, and then the rain fell, and judgment came. William Seymour and Charles Parham is the man that introduced William Seymour to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were in two different locations in America. I believe Parham at that time was still in Topeka, Kansas, and William Seymour was in Los Angeles. And both of them prophesied at the same time, in about around 100 years, there'll come an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on America greater than Azusa Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever studied Azusa Street? You all know about Azusa Street.
Yeah.
The glory of God would come in so thick in a cloud in Azusa Street that the kids, I read a book by an eyewitness that was there as a child. He said, we used to play hide and seek in the glory. Teenagers raising people up out of wheelchairs, off of stretchers, gorters being healed, cancers disappearing off of people's bodies with teenage boys and girls laying hands on them as Brother Seymour stuck his head in an apple crate and prayed, and the power of God fell. It's recorded that people miles away at the train station in Los Angeles, they'd get off the train and fall under the power of God before they ever got down to the meeting place where the fire of God set on that little mission, used to be a stable, set on that mission several times, and I read articles, I've read it from the newspapers, the print, where the fire department in Los Angeles was called out to put out the fire. They got there and they couldn't put it out because it was the Holy Ghost. The building was on fire. The neighbors called because they saw the fire and thought the building was burning down. It was the fire of the Holy Ghost. That's what's going to require in this hour to change this nation. It's going to take that type of a visitation of God to change this nation. He said, if my people will humble themselves, if we'll get on our face and pray and seek God. What does it mean to seek God, to seek His face, to seek God? That means seek God's direction, seek God's mind. We need to find out what God thinks about it when God has to say about it. This is not a guessing game. It's too late to be guessing. It's too late to be prophesying out of the flesh, out of our own spirit, what we think God is saying. If we don't hear from heaven, if we don't hear from God, don't you dare stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Amen. You can prophesy with simple prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul told us that the spirit of prophecy would come, and by inspiration, we could speak encouragement, exhortation, and comfort to believers. That is not revelation. That is not the prophet's ministry. That's not the word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Every day we should be speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost, inspired by the Spirit of God, to comfort one another with words, to build one another up, to exhort one another to good works. We ought to be doing that every day. We ought to be full enough of the Holy Ghost that we walk an inspired life and we talk an inspired speech. But that is not divine revelation. Those are just words that come out of our spirit. Simple prophecy is not God speaking. It's you speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when God speaks, it's thus saith the Lord, and it comes to pass every time. So we need to humble ourselves and become very serious in this hour of what we're doing, what we're saying, what we're hearing, what we're believing, and what we're spreading. We need to be linked up to the Holy Ghost like never before. Amen? Amen. Now, I believe everyone, every true believer in America is yearning for a national revival. We're yearning for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to hit this nation. I believe you are. I know your pastors are. We are. Those that we run with in our circles, we're all yearning and praying for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on this nation, because we know that it's not going to be the next election that's going to change things. It's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of the living God in Washington, D.C., in your state capital, in our state capital, in the big metropolitan areas, in the small rural communities. It's going to take a visitation from the Holy Ghost coming to every home and every house and every church in America to change this thing. It's not business as usual. We got to get that out of our mindset. This is a new day and a new hour. There's never been anything like this before in America. This nation was born of God and established by godly men and women. And the devil has seized control of the government, of the educational system, of the media, of entertainment. The devil, demon power, is in control of these arenas or areas of society in our nation. And he's also in control of many churches. Yeah. That power has to be broken. Jesus said, when a strong man has seized power, he holds everything by his strength. His goods are secure until a stronger than he comes upon him. The church of Jesus Christ in this nation must become stronger in the Holy Ghost than the demon power is in Satan in this land. The powers that's controlling this government, the demonic powers that are manipulating those that are in high office, will continue to do so until a greater power comes against them through the church of Jesus Christ. Have you had enough?
Yes.
I said, have you had enough? It's not going to come through the politicians. It's going to come through the church. And that'll change the politicians. Amen? Now, we sing about revival. We got a lot of beautiful songs about revival. We preach about revival. We prophesy about revival. But I got sad news for you right now. Revival is not coming to America until three things happen in the church. Until God's people get down on their face. How do I know that? The Bible says so. Until God's people seek Him in prayer, we're not going to have a revival. Until God's people repent of their sins. He said, if you will humble yourself and seek my face and turn away from your wicked ways, get out of sin, turn away from carnality, throw away the addictions, believe God for freedom, walk in holiness before the Lord, walk uprightly before God, stop the fussing and cussing, and live for God. If you're living together out of wedlock and raising children, you are living in fornication and adultery, and you're raising illegitimate children, and God will not bless your life. Amen. Even if you're born again and speaking other tongues. We had an example in our own church at home where a young woman bound, well, young woman, everyone's young to me anymore. She was probably in her 40s, bound by alcohol. Drank a fifth of whiskey every day. She'd gotten sick. It was consuming her body. She went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, you just have months to live. Her parents are Spirit-baptized people. She called on the name of the Lord, was born again, and delivered and instantly healed from that alcohol. Her body was healed. She met a doctor in the area. They were coming to our church together. My son, Sam, Pastor Sam, talked to them because they were living together. Told her, the devil will come back on you if you don't live right before God. You got to walk according to the word, whether you agree with it or not. Whether you like it or not, you have to obey the Bible. And he said, you need to get married. We will marry you. They didn't want to get married. They wanted to live in fornication.
Amen.
So they bought a house. And on Facebook, they posted about how God had blessed them with this house, and it was the blessing of God. And I said to our congregation, I mentioned, in a situation like that, that is not the blessing of God. That's the sweat of your brow. You can be a falling down drunk that knows nothing about Jesus, blaspheming and cussing God, and hold down a job and buy a house.
That's true. That's true.
That is not God's blessing.
That's right. That's right.
God does not bless sin.
Right.
He does not bless sinners. He blesses the upright. God will bless you beyond your wildest imagination if you will walk with Him in the light and serve Him and be a delight.
Amen.
We need to wake up, folks. I said we need to make up. Wake up. All over America in churches, just like our church at home, that type of thing is going on. Homosexuals in the church. Some in the pulpit. And no one has the Holy Ghost boldness to rebuke it and say this is wrong. They don't want to be politically incorrect. Jesus was politically incorrect. Paul was politically incorrect. Peter was politically incorrect. It got them in trouble with the government and with society, but they turned the world upside down for Jesus. You can either please the government, please society, please your neighbor, or please God. Because I guarantee you, if the church is pleasing God, we're not pleasing sinners. Aren't you glad I came today? If we will repent of our sins, if we'll get on our face and seek God and pray, repent of our sins, then and only then will God forgive our sins and cleanse the church. And heal our land. How can God heal our land when the church is almost as sick as our society? I'm not talking about you. We're talking about someone else today. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. Where does judgment begin? It's time, Peter said, for judgment. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, everyone say first.
First.
Say us first. If the judgment of God begins with us, the Christian, the believer, first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? What will be the end of the sinner? Folks, I believe this is the Holy Ghost because I read it in the Bible. God has to deal with the church before he can deal with our nation. I prayed my heart out for this nation for years. Prayed my heart out for the nation, binding devils, commanding demons to come down, breaking the back of demons, serpents that possess political parties, praying and believing God to change our educational system, to change the media, to change the entertainment world, praying, praying, praying like you have. But then the Lord began to deal with me about the church and the situation of the church. And he began to lead me to pray for an outpouring of a spirit of repentance in the church and for a flow of Holy Ghost power to bring about purity among his people. Purity. The Bible says, be holy, for I am holy. The Bible never says, be righteous, because I'm righteous. When you believed in Jesus, faith in his blood made you righteous as a free gift. Yes. But it did not make you holy. The Bible says, pursue holiness. Be holy. In other words, we have to do something with ourselves, with our flesh, with our soul, with our mind, with our habits, with our lifestyle, if we're going to be holy. And if we don't do something about it, God's not going to make the church holy. We have to cleanse our hands. James said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded, writing to the believers. We cleanse our hands. We purify our hearts. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But if we go right back like a dog to its vomit or a hog to wallow again in the mire, we're not going to see the power of God flow through us. Revivals are not sovereign moves of God. Every revival in history came through a praying church. A praying man, a praying woman, a praying group of people. Just like with Brother Seymour and the handful of young women in Los Angeles had been praying. They'd been praying 3 years when they hooked up with him, praying 3 years for revival. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion, 50 days after the Passover, God had written it down on his calendar that this is the day the Holy Ghost will be poured out and the change will come to the world. A visitation will come to God, for God in the world. A visitation from God. But if you read Acts, the first chapter, for a solid week, 120 believers continued in prayer, steadfastly in prayer. The early church, the apostles and the disciples in that upper room, 120 of them, birthed Pentecost. They prayed until God poured out the Holy Ghost on the appointed time. There is an appointed time for this nation. I believe we've missed it. I believe we're running late. But I believe God can catch us up.
Yes.
The children of Israel, the first generation, died in the wilderness. God had planned on bringing his people into the promised land 40 years before they arrived. We may be 40 years late right now for America. We're waiting on God to pour out his spirit. He's waiting for us to get on our faces, to humble ourselves and turn away from our wicked ways, to repent and to pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the power of God until the heavens are open and he can pour out his spirit. The church must repent first and receive an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the church before God will ever visit this nation with judgment. See, revivals are not sovereign acts of God or appointments of God. God never moves independently of the church. He never moves independently of us. He moves through us for us. He moves through the church for the nation. There's not just going to one day you're going to wake up and find out a revival's going on in the land without someone having been on their face before God giving birth to it. All right, buckle your seatbelt. I've been real polite until now. God moves through the church to bring revival to the nation, but he does not move through carnal churches, lukewarm churches, churches that condone or do not check sin. God does not move through carnal Christians. He doesn't move through lukewarm Christians. God moves through churches and believers that are holy, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, and walking in the light and walking in boldness, and praying their hearts out concerning the will of God. That's who God uses. You want to be used of God? I said, do you want to be used of God? Amen. You still want to see the nation change?
Yes.
A lot of people want to see the nation change, but they don't want to be a part of the change. We have got to be warriors. We've been wimps long enough. We've been caught up in the flesh and entertainment. For a lot of people, church is just entertainment. It's something that happens once a week. We have got to be full of the Holy Ghost and full of the Word. Go back and read the book of Acts. Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost and full of power. You can't be full of power unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Praise God. John 14, verse 30 in the classic Amplified. I'm old school, I even like the old Amplified. Paul was old school, you know. Someone said, Dad Hagen, you know, he was old school. We don't need to listen to him anymore. He was only the greatest prophet of God in the since the Apostle Paul. If that's old school, I'll take it.
Amen.
John 14, 30, Amplified Bible, Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius ruler of the world, is coming. And he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me.
Amen.
I like to take that word and put therefore. The devil has nothing in common with Jesus, therefore Jesus had power over the devil. You cannot come down on the devil's level and overpower him. If you're living on the devil's level, he will overpower you and the church. What I mean, come down on the devil's level. Walk in carnality. Allow sin to continue in your life. Well, it's just a little sin. It's just a little habit. It's just a little thing. I know it's there. I'm aware that it's there. I've been tolerating it, but it's just a little fox. It's just a little sin. James said, if you break one point of the law, you have broken the entire law. One little sin in your life that you know it's there and you continue in it, willfully sinning in that little sin, a church, congregation, or an individual throws the door wide open to the devil. And when he comes in, a church that tolerates sin cannot drive him out. And a believer who tolerates sin cannot drive the devil out. You can have nothing in common with the spirit of this world. Nothing in common with the devil. Jesus said, he's coming to examine me. He's coming to examine you too. Satan comes to examine the church. You know, the devil's pretty comfortable in most churches. It's the spirit and the word that makes the devil nervous. When you sing about the blood, when you talk about the blood, when you talk about the victory we have through faith in the blood and you're full of the Holy Ghost, the devil will not stay long. I've had demons flee just when I stepped in front of an individual that came to my office and said, I believe I'm demon possessed. I believe I have an evil spirit. I said, we'll see. I got up from behind my desk, walked around, stepped in front of them. This is not a doctrine. This is an experience. I heard coming out of my belly, one time, she threw both hands up in the air and said, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And I never even got to pray for her. I found out I had a tiger in the tank. The lion of the tribe of Judah lives in you. We have power over the devil. But you got to be living right. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. We had an individual that visited our church. He was troubled with a spirit of rage. And his wife worked with a member of our congregation. They were both nurses. And she was talking to her about my husband. All of a sudden, he'll go into a rage and he'll tell me to take the grandbaby, take the grandbaby. He had a little grandbaby. He loved to hold that baby. That spirit would come upon him and he'd say, get the baby, get the baby. And hand the baby off because he's afraid he'd hurt the baby. And go into rage and snort, shake his fist. Well, she brought him to church. I met him in the foyer. I introduced myself. He introduced himself to me. And as I was shaking his hand, all of a sudden he goes, in the foyer of my church. That was just a couple of years ago. This guy weighed 350 pounds, about 6 foot tall. I took him by the hand and I said, you come with me. I took him into the fellowship hall. Pastor Sam came with me. I told Samuel, I said, you go start the service, because it was church time. I said, you go start the service. I'll be okay here. There was another brother that stayed there with me. And I stuck my finger in his face. I said, you listen to me, you foul devil. You shut up and you shut up right now. You will not manifest yourself in this service. That thing quit right now. And I told him, I said, you go get a seat. And I went out. I was preaching. I stepped up to the pulpit, and the first thing I did, I pointed at him. I said, Joe, it's time for you to be delivered. Get down here. He told me the first thing I wanted to do when I got out of my seat was run out the back door. The devil is intimidated by the power of God. He said, but when I got to the middle aisle, I had every intention running out the back door, but for some reason I turned and came down the center aisle toward you. And he said, I wanted to hit you so bad. He stepped up in front of me, and my son Samuel, he said he saw a golden circle right where I was standing. He said, I thought first, who walked up on the platform with dirt on their shoes? Someone got up there and got something. But later when he went back and looked, there was nothing there. He saw the glory. Then he said he saw, when I stepped down off the platform, he saw my feet print glowing in gold. The glory. That big old man, I spoke to him, I pointed my finger and said, you foul devil, come out of him. And he flew two rolls back through the air. The power of God hit him, knocked both his shoes off. His shoes went flying off. He was laying back. I tell you what, people that had never seen the power of God got up and started shaking their fists. We have power! Well, someone had power. I was fortunate to travel with Lester Sumrall. He laid hands on my wife and I and said, Lord, give them power. Power! To cast out devils, and we've been doing it ever since. Brother Joe, once they got him up, he laid there, growled, and then got delivered, and we took him out to lunch afterwards. And he told me, he said, I've never experienced anything like that. Something on the inside of me was tearing me to pieces. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. The demons started to tear them and cried with a loud voice and came out. Folks, we're the same church.
Yes, we are.
We're the same people. We have the same Holy Ghost.
Yes.
You can do that,
yeah,
if you're full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And if you know the Word, know who you are in Christ. That man was set free still in our church to this day. What a blessing to be full of the Holy Ghost. But you cannot compromise with the devil and cast the devil out. You cannot compromise with the devil and cast him out. If you have compromise in your life, you can speak the name of Jesus, shout and jump and spit all over everyone, and the devil is not leaving. Ephesians 5:18, again the Amplified, the old version. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. I like that. Ever be filled, or be being filled, always be filled and stimulated. We need to be stimulated by the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, nothing in the life of a believer, I want you to hear this, this is the truth. Nothing in the life of a believer will operate as designed unless you are full of the Holy Ghost. Nothing in your life as a believer will operate as it's supposed to unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. Our faith will not operate the way God designed it if we're not full of the Holy Ghost. You cannot walk in the flesh and be a carnal Christian and operate in high levels of the faith. Can't do it. Our prayers will not operate as they're supposed to if they're not flowing out of a spirit-filled heart. Carnal prayers go unanswered. We got to move beyond the intellect. We got to move beyond our natural understanding. And we need to be praying out prayers in the Holy Ghost. We need to be so filled with the Holy Ghost, we know the mind of the Spirit in our spirit. And when we open our mouth up to speak, we are speaking divine mysteries. We are speaking, praying by utterance of the Holy Ghost. You have to be Holy Ghost people to operate in the kingdom of God. Amen. If not, you'll have a form of religion and deny the power thereof. And formal religion and powerless religion, powerless Christianity or churchianity will not deliver this nation. Nope. So we have to be filled. Our worship will not be as it's designed to be unless we're full to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Even our walk with God will be laborious unless we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Some people are just laboring to get to church. Laboring to do what's right. Laboring to prayer. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you can't wait to get to prayer. Worship flows out of your heart. Your walk with God is not laborious, it's a joy. Full of glory. Unspeakable. Amen? Full of joy and glory. Unspeakable. Praise the Lord. Now, folks, just want to be honest with you. I'm leaving after the service here in the next day or two. We're going home. Brother Mark will be here to answer all the questions. There is a big difference. Everyone say big difference. I want you to understand this. There's a big difference between being full of the Holy Ghost and once upon a time having been baptized with the Spirit. I was sharing some things with a dear sister just a few days ago, and she was going to try to be here today. She just lost her husband. We did his funeral on the way down here, and just hours' drive from here. The Lord just worked it out so we'd be in the area because she didn't have a pastor at this time, and she wanted to know what I was going to be preaching on. I said, I'm preaching on being, oh, there she is right back there. She... Praise God, Vicki, sitting back there in the back. What are you doing on the back row? You shouldn't be sitting on the back row. You ought to be up here.
I got lost, but I sneaked in.
You were lost, but now you're found. Yeah. Glory to God. You don't have to sneak in. You can come right down here and sit on this third row if you like, where I can see your eyes. Yeah, come on down here. But I was sharing with her what I was going to preach on about being filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, I have that. I said, well, we'll see. I don't know. I know you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but there's a big difference between having been baptized with the Holy Ghost 26 years ago. I married her and her husband 26 years ago. She was baptized with the Holy Ghost, stood in faith and believed God, and was delivered from cancer and never went to the doctor. Other than being told it was cancer. She stood, she was on our worship team, and she just took a stand. And every Sunday morning she said, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus and I'm cancer free. I heard that for a year and a half before it manifest. Amen. But I said, I don't know if you're full of the Holy Ghost or not. I know you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they're two different things. You're a leaky vessel. Your spirit is not the source of power. Your spirit is a container, a receptacle. I like to liken it to a battery. You buy a new battery, put it in your automobile, it's full of power. You hit the key of faith and that thing will start the engine. But if your alternator is not working, it won't be long until you'll have a dead battery and you don't have the power to start the motor. You have to stay hooked up. The alternator has to be working. And I believe the alternator is your tongue, praying in the Holy Ghost, charging yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you pray in the Holy Ghost 10, 15 minutes a day, you got a dead battery. If you pray in the Holy Ghost once a week, you're deader than a doornail on the inside. You once had power, miracle-working power, but you've let it drain out of your life. Every time you minister to someone, you have to be filled again. You have to be filled every day. I get up and say, Lord, well, just the other day when I was praying, I said, Lord, I was full of the Holy Ghost on Sunday. On Monday, I was filled again. On Tuesday, I got filled again. On Wednesday, I was filled again. I said, Lord, on Thursday, I was filled again. I said, Lord, this is Friday. I need to be filled again. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? You spend some time with Him. You pray in the Spirit. You ask for a fresh anointing. You ask Him to breathe a fresh breath of life in you. You open your spirit up and drink from the Holy Ghost. Every day, every day, every day, every day. You want to see the nation set free. I said, do you want to see the nation set free? A remnant will answer the call.
Yes.
There is a remnant church. There is a people that God will raise up, and they'll answer the call. But we should all answer the call. We could get the job done quicker. And I don't know about you, but I'm concerned for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, to see how far this nation has fallen in my lifetime. I'm 70 years old. I'm old enough to remember. I got saved when I was 22. And I'm old enough to remember what it was like and what it's like today. And it is not what it's supposed to be in America. What happened? The church went to sleep. The church got comfortable. The church wasn't praying. There's always been a group of people, but a small group of people's not going to stop demonic spirits in the heavenly places from putting a stranglehold on realms of our society. If Kenneth Hagin could have done it alone, it would have been done. But it takes the body. There's a dynamic in the corporate anointing, a dynamic when the body comes together and we're praying, even if it's spread out across the nation. There is a dynamic. If one will chase 100, five will chase 10,000. We need the body to pray, to get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What time do you stop, brother? Glory to God. Paul spoke for 3 months one time. Smith Wigglesworth. We all know Smith Wigglesworth, who he was. Tremendous man of faith. Went to be with the Lord back, I believe, in the 40s. Wigglesworth said, the only thing that keeps us from falling back into the natural is being filled and filled again with the Holy Ghost. The only thing that keeps us from falling back into the natural or being carnal Christians, led by natural thinking, led by natural emotions, led by what we think about it or someone else said about it, the only thing that's going to keep us from falling back to the natural is to be filled and filled again with the Holy Ghost. I haven't reached where Wigglesworth was in his commitment. I was thinking about it the other day, talking to the Lord about it. But I read where Smith Wigglesworth said, I never go over 15 minutes without praying in the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I never go over 30 minutes without reading my Bible. He kept the scriptures in his pocket. He said, I never go over 15 minutes without fellowshipping with God in other tongues. And I never go over a half an hour without reading the Word, building myself up. Well, he raised the dead, what, 50 times or so? 35 to 50 times? Prayed for people who had no limbs and they grew back right in front of their eyes? Get on a train car. Back then, he'd get on a train to go from one city to another, walk into the coach, into the car, sit down, and everyone in the car fall on their knees and say, oh, man, my God, you convict me of my sins. That's like the Apostle Paul. You may not be called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, but you're called to be full of the Holy Ghost. I said you're called to be full of the Holy Ghost. And the kingdom of God will not operate right in your life if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. Pastor Sam shared a quote. I don't know where he got the quote, but it was so good I liked it. He said, Christians that are not full of the Holy Ghost are high maintenance and low output. Christians that are not full of the Holy Ghost are high maintenance and low output. I don't know about you, but I want to be low maintenance and high voltage. I want to be high voltage. I want to be so full of the power of God that I can accomplish the things the Lord tells me to do. And if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you can't do what God tells you to do because you can't do it in the natural. Amen? Jeremiah 2:13. Moving right along. We'll be done here in 2 hours. I guarantee you. Jeremiah 2:13. Jeremiah wrote these words, spoken by the Holy Ghost. God said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. My people have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn themselves out a cistern, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If you've ever been to Israel, you know there's a lot of limestone in Israel, soft stone, and they would go out there and they could dig a hole, deep hole in that stone, and when it rained, the runoff would come into the cistern. And then they would feed the water down out of that cistern to their community. Cisterns are not sources of pure, clean, life-giving water. They are sources of runoff. And folks, I'm telling you, we've got too much runoff going on in the church. People are sustaining their life with runoff instead of going to the fountain. Now, we thank God for teachers, thank God for pastors, thank God for prophets. But you should be drinking directly from the fountain and not depending on a cistern. Lillian B. Yeomans wrote in one of her books on healing. How many know who Lillian B. Yeomans, Lillian? She was a medical doctor, got hooked on heroin back in the late 1800s, lived into the 1900s. She got saved and delivered from heroin and became a divine healing evangelist. She continued to practice her medicine, but she also practiced divine healing and was an evangelist. She got called to a community where there was an outbreak of typhoid fever. And when she arrived at the community, she, being a doctor, medical doctor in the scientific field, understood that there has to be a source here in the water that's causing this. I don't know if that was divine revelation or she just figured it out. She asked them, said, where's your water source for this community? They said, well, it's up in the hills. It's a cistern. And it's the water is piped down into our community from that cistern. When it rains, cistern fills up, and we get the runoff that comes down here, and that's what we drink. That's what we bathe in. She said, take me to your cistern. She went to the cistern, and guess what they found? They found a big old sow and her piglets had gone into that water and couldn't get out, and they drowned. And they were putrefying in that water. They were all swollen up. May have been in that water for 2 or 3 weeks, and that's what the people were drinking. And it was causing sickness in the village. It was not a supernatural miracle that healed the people. It was getting the pigs out of the cistern and draining the cistern. And then it got replenished with water, and the people were healed. Folks, there are too many pigs and too many church cisterns that are polluting the water and making the body of Christ spiritually sick. We need to get rid of the pigs. You need to check out your water supply. What are you drinking from? What is watering your life? Maybe some demons mixed up in it. I tell you what, there's a lot of goofy doctrines in the church. Doctrines of devils, pigs, polluting the water. We need to drink from the fountain. I mean, if you drink from the fountain, you don't have to constantly be running to the cistern. to get a drink. You need, see, this church doesn't have a cistern. It has a fountain. I know that because I know your pastors. There's living water that flows out of their belly and waters you. But some churches don't have a Holy Ghost flow. Some churches don't have that anointing that flows and feeds you through the Word of God. We need to pray for the body of Christ because every church isn't like yours. We need to pray for an outpouring of the Spirit of God, first of all, in the church, that the church will repent of her sins, that the church will get on her face and humble herself, that the church will pray once again. We need to emulate the book of Acts, not the first church or the second church. Amen? John 7, 37 and 38, you all know these verses. I would imagine you do. John 7, 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any one thirst, let him come to me and drink." It's amazing that Jesus would say something like that. Come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, if anyone does what? Thirst. Who's Jesus speaking to? Only the thirsty. I tell you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, but only to those who are thirsty in this house. Those who are not thirsty for this living water that flows out of Jesus, you wish I'd hurry up and get done so you can beat the Baptist to the restaurant. Come to me and drink, verse 38. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Ghost, because the Spirit of God was not yet given. The water that flows out. He said, if you'll drink from me, there's going to be rivers flow out of you. Hallelujah. If you drink from the fountain, if you go to Jesus directly, if that's your water source, then out of your belly is going to flow life to the people around you. If you're drinking from a cistern, you don't know for sure what you're giving them. Polluted water. Need to drink from the fountain. Folks, your spiritual life is an outflow of what you've been drinking. If your spiritual life does not manifest the kingdom of God, you need to realize you're not drinking the right water or not getting enough of it. Your life, out of your belly shall flow. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. Solomon wrote and said, the issues of life spring forth out of your heart. The issues of your life, the issues of the kingdom of God. Life flows out of your own heart. What flows out of you is where you're going in life. What flows out of you is what you are in life. Jesus said, come and drink from me, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Your spiritual life is an outflow of what's flowing in. Some people are dry. They say, the church is my filling station. No, the church is your rally point. There's a standard lifted up here that you're to rally around. The people in this community, my wife has a tremendous teaching on that, on the tabernacle and how all the tribes were around the tabernacle, and there'd be a certain standard for a certain tribe lifted up, and all the members of that tribe would rally around that standard, and then they'd go off, march off to war. They were numbered. God knew how many he had in each of the tribes, which tribe should lead the way, and each tribe had their own standard and had their own purpose in the battle, their own strategy. God gave the strategies to Moses. Moses told them to the commanders of each of these tribes. We rally around the standard of this church to do battle together against the powers of darkness, against demon spirits in this community and in our nation. This is not your filling station. Your filling station is your prayer closet.
That's right.
If you only get a drink of water once a week, if you only go to a fountain once a week to get watered, you're going to be miserable. You got to get watered every day. Amen. Praise God. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Bear with me, I only have another verse after this one. Galatians 5, 16, the first part of 17. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you desire. He said, walk in the spirit. You'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, because your flesh and the spirit struggle against one another. And these are contrary to one another. Your spirit and your flesh are contrary to one another. Now, I had this question come up in my heart as I was meditating on this. And here's the question. How can a man who lives in a carnal body walk in the spirit? How can a man who lives in a carnal body, a body who has the sin nature, how can a man who lives in a carnal body walk in the spirit? You know what the answer is? He cannot, unless he's full of the Holy Ghost. The only way you'll overcome your own flesh is not by your own strength. You have to be filled and filled again with the Holy Ghost. And whenever you begin to run a little dry in your spirit, your flesh will gain the upper hand. So if you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you're going to walk in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God, and be effective for God, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost, or you will not overcome the flesh. The Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Ghost. Your salvation is all about the blood. The church needs to tell the world about Jesus. The church needs to be told about the Holy Ghost. The world needs Jesus. The church needs the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit every day. You need to be filled every day. You have to have a fellowship with Him every day. He is to lead you. He is to guide you. He is to empower you. He is to fill your mouth. Now you have to do your part and study the Word and meditate on the Word of God. You have to be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? You have to stay full of the Holy Ghost if it's convenient or not. There's no convenient time to pray in the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, you get you a calendar, mark the day, and set your schedule and say, 9 a.m., I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost for an hour. At 9 a.m., you'll get 9 phone calls. You'll have 15 distractions. Every telemarketer in the country will be calling you. You have to purpose that I am going to meet with God. And the rest of the world can go right on by, because the most important thing in my life is not my children, not my wife, not my grandchildren, not the church, but my fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Because if I'm not right with the Holy Ghost and full of the Holy Ghost to minister to them, I can just do it in the flesh. There's been enough ministry in the flesh. That's why our nation is where it's at. I heard that. I'm moving on. Praise God. We cannot walk in the Spirit unless we're full of the Holy Ghost. I just got a few thoughts here. You'll see this is common sense. You can't walk in love unless you're full of the Spirit of love. You can't walk in power unless you're full of the Holy Ghost power. You can't walk in joy unless you're full of the Spirit of the Lord. We can sing about joy. We can clap our hands and jump up and down and say, I have joy, joy, joy. It's an imitation unless you're full of the Holy Ghost. You got to be full of the Spirit of the Lord, because it's His joy, not your joy. And when you get so full of the Holy Ghost that you can't stand yourself, you'll see you have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Jesus was anointed with the spirit of gladness above His fellows. I believe Jesus laughed His way through life. On the earth, He was full of joy. I believe He had a spring in His step. I believe He had a shout in His voice. I don't believe He was discouraged when the Pharisees came against Him. He wasn't fearful when demons rose up. He saw a leper. He saw a paralyzed person. He didn't say, oh, Father, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, He was so full of the Holy Ghost, He just flowed with the Spirit of His Father. He's our example. Amen. The kingdom of God is not designed for carnal people. The kingdom of God is not designed for carnal people. There's no middle ground. We're either carnal or we're spiritual. You can't be a little carnal and somewhat spiritual. You're either or. You're either carnal or you're spiritual. No middle ground. And carnal people, carnal churches cannot operate in the spiritual kingdom of God. Won't work right. That's why we have so many split and splinters. That's why we have so many different doctrines. That's why we have prune-faced Christians. That's why we have Christians that are constantly going from one struggle to the other and never walking in victory. They can sing the songs, they may even know the word, but you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Full to overflowing. And remember, I said there's a big difference between being full of the Holy Ghost and having been baptized once upon a time. Big difference. Now, in closing, we'll look at Luke chapter 1. We'll look at verse 31, then we'll jump down to verse 34 and 35. Luke 1, 31, then we'll look at verses 34 and 35. The angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and began to talk to Mary. What an experience. What an experience for this young lady. Are y'all ready? Luke 1, 31. The angel said to Mary, "Behold, you will consume. Ye shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? How can this be, since I do not know a man?" You may look at the situation that our nation is in today, that the church is in today, and the Lord could speak to you and say, "I am going to bring salvation through you, through your congregation, through my people." And right now I'd have to say, "Lord, how can this be? I know these people. I know where they live. I know they have faith, but they don't walk in it. They have the Spirit of God, but they don't flow in Him. Lord, how are you going to save our nation? How can this be?" Well, I'm glad the angel gave us the answer. Mary said, "How can this be? This is impossible. I've never known a man. I'm a virgin. This is impossible. The salvation of America is impossible today unless we get this." Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One that is born will be called the Son of God.'" Jesus was born through a woman. God the Father had to have a partner on the earth. He could not bring His Son into the world without the cooperation of a virgin. And God cannot bring the salvation of this nation to pass without the cooperation of a virgin. And we are to be chaste virgins in the presence of God, washed in the blood and sanctified without spot or wrinkle. And the power of God will come on us. The Holy Ghost will come on the church in America. And America will be changed by a Holy Ghost anointed church. And nothing less will do. Nothing else will get the job done. As Dad Hagen would say, you might as well say, "Oh me," or "Oh my," because it's true anyway. Amen. I have a prophecy here I'm going to close with by Dad Hagen from 1987. I have a copy of it in my briefcase there if y'all would like it. I'll leave it with the pastor if he doesn't already have it. You can get a copy of it. Dad Hagen was a prophet of God, stood in the forefront of the prophet's ministry in the earth, forerunner to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in 1987, he had the vision, and this is the vision. This is what he said. I looked and saw the hearts of men, and oh, they were disturbed and perplexed. I saw a dark cloud rise up from the eastern part of our nation, and it came out of the capital of our nation. And men responded unto the darkness and arose and walked with it. And the darkness began to envelop this very land. But oh, the hearts of many that know God sensed in their spirits. And those of us who stand on the horizon of time shall sound forth a word of warning. And so There shall arise mighty ones, those called of God, separated unto him, and they shall make intercession, and the light shall shine and drive back the darkness. The evil and wicked men shall fall, and there will be those, and remember, it was told you in advance. It was told you years in advance that there shall be those in high places who will fall down dead. And some will say, oh, they would have made such great leaders. I cannot understand. But those who know the voice of the Spirit shall rejoice and be glad, for you shall know the dark. That darkness has been stayed, and the hand of the enemy has been defeated. If my people who are called by my name would get on their faces and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Folks, we're standing right now at a very pinnacle point of American history. I have preached in communist countries. I have preached in underground churches behind the Iron Curtain years and years ago. I know what it's like to see an oppressed people. Met a man from Czechoslovakia that snuck out of the country over into Poland where we were preaching. Had just been released from prison for 15 years for being a pastor. That is coming to America if the church doesn't obey the sermon today. Some people say, well, that can never happen in America. We're Americans. What is an American? Someone that landed here from somewhere else. It's not the fact that we're Americans that's going to save this nation. We're not smarter than anyone else. God's blessing has rested on this nation because it was founded by God-fearing, spirit-full, and word-filled people. But we let it slip away into the hands of devils. The United States of America is the world power. China is rivaling us right now. China's rising to that level. The kingdom of the dragon type of Satan. 4,000 years they've been under oppression. America was free for 200, 300 years going back before the Revolutionary War. A free people. But the church went to sleep. The church quit praying. The church quit standing. The church wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost again. We decided that a program would do. 3 points, a poem, sung by the choir, and go on our merry way because we were so blessed in this land. That day is over. If we do not pray, if we do not take our place, if we do not become the people God's called us to be, with tears, you'll regret the day. Everybody say, not on my watch. Because I guarantee you, when we get to heaven, we're going to give an account for what happened to this nation on our watch. Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these precious people. Lord, I pray that this word gets so far down on the inside of them, the devil can't get it out with a tow truck. That they will be absolutely challenged and changed by a revelation from heaven that this is the hour, this is the time, this is the moment. It's all on the line right now. They must rise to the occasion, must rise up under the power of the Holy Ghost, must stand fast on the Word of God, must walk in the light and not do despite to the blood of the Lamb, but walk uprightly and strong in the midst of this fight. For surely in our nation, it is the middle of the night. The Father, according to this prophecy that was given so long ago, there will be raised up by your hand those who will intercede and pray and be full of the Holy Ghost. And through their intercession, the devil will be driven back and the nation will be happy once again at last. But Father, it will not happen just because you appointed it to happen in this generation or in this day. It'll happen when we leave our own way and get in your way and walk in a brand new way. Father, help us. Holy Ghost, help us. You were sent to be our helper. Help us. We need your help. We need your help. We'll do our part, and we'll believe that you'll do your part in helping us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of God, there's no better time than right now. If you'll come down here right now, you get in the water when it's troubled. The Spirit of God will come upon you and empower you like He did those in the book of Acts. If you were baptized with the Holy Ghost and you'll be honest enough to say, I haven't been faithful to stay full to overflowing with the Holy Ghost, and I need a fresh anointing. I need a fresh anointing. If you'll come right now, I'll lay my hands on you and fresh fire will come upon you. Fresh water will flow into you. I'm not going to beg anyone. If you've got to prod someone, they're not going to get it anyway. You need to be filled afresh. Filled afresh. And I'm not talking about just a little touch that you can take, you know, and enjoy for a day or two with some goosebumps running up and down your back. I'm talking about being filled afresh with the Holy Ghost so you can step into a new measure and a new flow where you can walk where the Spirit of God wants you to go. And you can walk in power and in strength. You'll be one of those intercessors. You'll be one of those that'll get on your face before God. Get a hold of the horns of the altar and not let go until this nation is free from demon power. Let's all stand together. If you would, just step up real close up front here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'd ask you to do, if you need to repent for allowing the power of God to flow out of your life, just do that. Man, I've done that so many times. I've been dry before. I've got caught up in busyness, and neglected the Holy Ghost. So take care of that first. Glory to God. Then I'd like for you to lift your hands to heaven. If you've never been filled before, you're going to be filled right now. If you've been filled before, here comes a fresh anointing. Oh, yes, be filled with the Holy Ghost again. Be filled and filled again. Filled and filled again. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants you to be filled. Receive now a fresh anointing, the water of life flowing into your spirit. A change coming in Jesus' name. Filled overflowing. Father, you're faithful. I thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, drink. You're not drinking from me. You're drinking from the Holy Ghost. Oh, be filled again. 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 Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Be filled again. Be filled overflowing. Filled. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Filled overflowing. Filled with the Holy Ghost down in your belly. Down in your belly, in your spirit. Filled afresh with a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Agree with us that his back is healed and restored.
In Jesus' name. Can you believe that, brother?
Yes.
For the healing in your back, lift your hands to heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, they that believe in my name, they will lay hands upon the sick, and the sick will recover. So from the head of the church, I tell you, as a believer, when I lay my hands on you, you will go into recovery and you will amend full well. Right now, there it is. In Jesus' name, a creative miracle, Father, a creative miracle, Put everything back like it's supposed to be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now mix faith with that and rejoice every day and be glad. Hallelujah. And stretch yourself and demonstrate that I am healed. Every day on a daily basis, stretch yourself. Do something you couldn't do before. Hallelujah. 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 Bless the Lord. He is our God, is a healing God, a saving God. We've seen so many healing miracles. I remember many, many, many years ago in the storefront church, Pastor Mark, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but I preached on, in your church, on turning hopeless situations around. We had a long line of people that came up for healing different things. There was a young lady in her 20s, first-time visitor, came to the church. When I laid hands on her and prayed for her, she turned around and went back to her seats. After everyone sat down, she waved her hand, and I said, yes, yes, ma'am. She said, when I came into this church, I'd never been in a church like this before. I was blind in one eye. When I was a child, 9 years old, the neighbor boy threw a rock and blinded my eye. She said, I can see you out of that eye right now. Yes, that's our God.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just want to tell you how important it is for you to stay full of the Holy Spirit. I cannot emphasize it enough. In my spirit, I received a vision some time ago concerning the standards that God has raised up over churches that He has raised up. And there is a standard that's been raised up over this church. It was given to your pastors that you are, this is a place where the word and spirit prevail. And it must prevail. That's the standard that you rally under. And you will be held responsible for seeing that the will of God for this church is done in this community. God is a God of detail. And He has with precision placed churches and forces, His forces, around this country with a calling on each that you would fulfill in prayer to see His will done on this earth by the Holy Spirit. This is the time that the Holy Spirit is implementing God's will in this country. We must rally to that call. We must, because it depends on this church. It depends on the churches that God has raised up.
I have called you to this place for this hour, and I have released my Holy Ghost power. Now take up the mantle, even as Elisha did from Elijah, and smite the waters, and command them to depart, and walk in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and let the rivers flow out of your heart. Do not draw back. Do not take a back seat in this hour. For this is the time and this is the moment that I will pour out my power on you and through you to reach a nation that's lost, to reach a nation that's struggling in darkness, to reach a nation that the devil has said, ha ha, I have it right where I want it. But that is not going to be the outcome. If you will pray, if you will get on your face, if you will live faithfully before your God. For Jesus Christ, the greater one, lives in your spirit. But you must pray in the Holy Ghost until he comes.